Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack. Save $200 when you put in code word HOWIE3. Sale is just for this week only and while supplies last. Order at EdenPure.com. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith. The last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. All right, we are going to take your calls on Andrew Cuomo if you want to call in. I mean, I'm on the same side as Howie here. I'm blown away by the fact that he would come out and accuse all of these women of being liars, especially when some of them have witnesses. It's clearly a pattern here, Andy, but he does not care. A lot of people are commenting on this, but I will say that this news broke around 11:30. That's when AG Letitia James stepped out to make this announcement. And it definitely is the lead story, but there were so many stories today that I thought I'd have time to get to. So I'm going to run through a couple of them. And if people want to weigh in, they can. But first, before I move on from Cuomo for a little bit, let's go to Jim. Jim, you're next with Grace. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, Grace. How you doing?
Good.
I wanted to mention, whatever happened to the Me Too movement? I mean, first Joe Biden went through this. And Me Too movement and all women should be believed. No one cared. No one said anything. Now Andrew Cuomo is, you know, he seems to be, you know, a serial, you know, bad guy as far as treating women and stuff goes. I just don't get how there's no public outcry from the feminist groups and women across America coming out and saying these women deserve to be believed.
Right.
It just doesn't seem to matter when it's a Democrat, I guess. And, no. Oh, that brings.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, it brings me right to a quick point. Is I honestly don't think Cuomo's going to be touched by this in the slightest. He's going to go on. There's nobody to impeach him. I mean, it's a Democrat state. He's almost untouchable.
Yeah, no, I understand why you would think that, Jim, and I hope you're wrong, but I understand your reasoning. As far as the Me Too movement, I think Democrats have shown themselves to be hypocrites on this, you know, multiple times in the past, and. I remember when Harvey Weinstein and all those stories broke, and I just thought, and all these women started coming out, and, you know, a lot of them had their careers ruined. And those women, I was, you know, really impressed that they came out, were brave enough. But there were a lot of women in Hollywood who knew about this for a very long time. This was an open secret. And yet you had Meryl Streep calling Harvey Weinstein God on the Oscar stage. You had all these women supporting him, going to his movie premieres. So right there, I was like, wait a second, Donald Trump's the worst guy in the world because he said something, you know, on a hot mic to Billy Bush, and he once told a woman to put a bikini on. And that's the worst thing. But Harvey Weinstein's an actual predator, and these people had no problem schmoozing it up with him for decades. So right there, the Me Too movement was kind of bogus. But there are people, there are exceptions to that hypocrisy. Rose McGowan is one of them. She is fierce and she goes on Tucker Carlson. She'll talk about it with anyone because she knows that politics should be left aside. If you're going to believe women, it doesn't just mean believe women who are accusing Republicans of doing something bad. That's not how it works. Thank you for the call. Yeah, let's go to... The other stuff I kind of want to talk about today is this Barack Obama party, because this is becoming quite the headache. And I just kind of want to break down why I find this to be so amazing. Now, of course, you have the element that he is a massive narcissist. And listen, I know I throw my own party every year. We do it as part of the Howie Carr Radio Network, so I'm not one to judge someone throwing a party. But 700 people during COVID, when your best friend is the president, That's a bit much. I know it's his 60th. It's a big year, but he's going to have Steven Spielberg, Oprah Winfrey. I'm sure Harry and Meghan will make the trip. And this is going to be a major bash. And the more I kept thinking about it, the more I was like, this is kind of a slap in the face to Joe Biden, because you know that Joe Biden and Jen Psaki are going to have to answer all these questions about it. And Peter Doocy did ask the questions. I thought this was great. Let's do cut 7. Waiting on that.
Is President Obama setting the wrong example about how serious COVID-19 is by hosting a big birthday party with hundreds of people this week?
Well, I would certainly refer you to the team who is working for my former boss to give you more specifics of what the protocols are in place. But I would note first that former President Obama has been a huge advocate of individuals getting vaccinated. When CDC has provided guidance on is for indoor settings in high or substantial high zones of COVID cases.
What about places near the water? What about climate change hot zones? By the way, it should be noted that Martha's Vineyard, I guess, is not in the code of, it's not in the warning zone anymore. And that changed the day before the announcements came out about Barack Obama's party. Just again, timing for Democrats is always impeccable. I find this amazing though, because he's been such an advocate for vaccines, it's okay for him to have this huge rager. So in that case, I guess it'd be okay if Trump did it. Do you think if Trump had a birthday party with 700 people, he'd be getting the same leaving alone from the press?
It's the only choice for somebody like me.
Do you think there'd be talk about how he's such a narcissist? Probably. But with Barack Obama, it's like charming that he's doing this. Let's play cut 8.
But is there any concern, just because, as you've said here, and you've had people saying over the last couple of days, vaccinated people can still spread this Delta variant around. So is there concern that this President Obama birthday party might become a super spreader event?
Well, I think, Peter, the guidance is about what steps people can take when they're in public settings. Indoor settings specifically was the new guidance.
I don't even at this point need to take her answers. I just want to play Peter Ducey's questions because her answers are non-answers. She never answers anything. But this is from the New York Post, and the title of it is actually, "Imagine if this was Trump. Obama bash for hundreds draw jeers amid Delta outbreak. Logistics for the Obama party, which will be outdoors at his $12 million, 30-acre waterfront." Again, he did promise that he was going to stop the tides from rising. So I guess that's okay for him to buy a waterfront property. I wouldn't advise it for you guys, though, because we only got 5 or 6 years left here. His 30-acre waterfront property is proving to be a nightmare, one staffer told The Post. "His birthday party is insane," the caterer said. "His bash is a nightmare to pull off this time of year on the tiny island, especially due to the lack of labor because of the coronavirus. What is he thinking?" I'm glad that inside source brought that up because I had the same question. You know, there's such a shortage of workers right now on the vineyard. Is Barack Obama either going to have to steal these staffers or, you know, coax them into coming to his party from restaurants on the island and hurt those small businesses? Or is he going to have to bring in people from, I don't know, other hotspots, New York, maybe? I'm curious about the staffing. It's unclear how guests will use bathrooms and whether masks will be required indoors when they do. I'm sure the beautiful people coming from their private jets would be happy to use some porta potties. I don't think we have to worry about that. The county that includes Martha's Vineyard on Monday dipped into the moderate infection category just in time for the birthday news. And by the way, in case you think that Barack Obama's narcissism isn't contagious, well, you are incorrect. Valerie Jarrett posted this tweet today, along with a gag-worthy photo of her and Barack, like, laying on the stairs, basically laughing with each other. She said, "My dear friend Barack Obama is turning 60 tomorrow. For his birthday gift, I'm asking you to chip in $6 or $60 to help us bring the Obama Presidential Center to life in Chicago. Donate at Obama.org, 60 for 60. Hashtag happy birthday, Obama." No, he's having a birthday with 700 people. He doesn't need my $60. No. Decline. Not happening. Never. Gosh. And you want to hear the craziest thing? Moving on from Barack's birthday, listen to what, I think this is Francis Collins, the expert on CNN, said today about kids and parents wearing masks. This is how insane it is. They don't want parents to be around their kids without masks on, but Barack Obama can have a party with 700 people. Oprah Winfrey, Pearl Jam, why not? But put your mask on when you're talking to your five-year-old.
And that at home, parents of unvaccinated kids should be thoughtful about this, and the recommendation is to wear masks there as well.
Let me just follow up on that.
I know that's uncomfortable. I know it seems weird.
No, it's stupid.
But it is the best way to protect your kids.
I I can't take this anymore. The hypocrisy of it all is just, it's too much. It's breathtaking. Barack Obama is going to be eating tuna tartare and having a fabulous tented birthday on Martha's Vineyard before it gets washed away by climate change with 700 of his closest friends. But you should stay at home eating your can of beans, surrounded by toilet paper rolls, wearing a mask as you talk to your child. This is Joe Biden's America. We're back, baby! Travis, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Travis.
Yes. Hello, Grace?
Yes.
Oh, congratulations on your new show, and thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
You were talking about you can't take much more of this hypocrisy, and what I told your screener was, I guess it's a little bit of a tribute to the late, great Rush Limbaugh, but he pointed out, he once said, you notice when the Me Too movement disappeared, it just went away just like it was nothing, was when Joe Biden got the nomination for the Democratic ticket for president of the United States. All of a sudden, you know, with all the allegations with what Joe Biden did, all of a sudden the Me Too movement just evaporated like it never existed. And that shows the hypocrisy. You were just saying a second ago, you can't take much more of this hypocrisy. And that's a perfect example of it. As soon as Joe Biden, who has got, you know, a very long record of sexually harassing and groping women, as soon as he got the nomination, the Me Too movement just went away and nobody ever heard another thing from it. And that just shows the hypocrisy of the left.
Yeah, no news stations would ask about Tara Reid except for, you know, people in Australia or, you know, Ireland. Those are the only stations that would talk about that. Oh, Jen Psaki speaking. So we're going to go to break here and then we'll come back with that. I'm sure she'll answer some questions. Thank you for the call, though. Great call. Eden Pure has done it again. The Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-pack is back. One user writes, very surprised at how well the small units work. I noticed a difference almost immediately. I purchased the 3-pack and I'm happy I did. And now you can save $200 on an Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-pack. Jared loves the 3-pack for a lot of different reasons. Tell him, Jared.
Well, I love the 3-pack because I have seasonal allergies, so basically anytime I'm outside, I have the runny nose, the scratchy throat, the watery eyes, all that good stuff. But with the 3-pack, I can have one in the upstairs, one in the downstairs, and one in my car because the Thunderstorm comes with a little cord. You just plug it into your USB in your car, you turn it on, you can roll down the windows, and you don't have to worry about any nasty pollen coming in ruining your day.
Absolutely. It's a great product and it doesn't require any air filters, which of course saves you time and money. Sometimes you see these things in offices and they're massive. They're like these monsters, Ghostbuster machines. Not this. It's a small device, but it's really powerful and it really works. Other air purifiers can cost up to $600 for just one unit. Go to EdenPureDeals.com, click on my name and put in code word GRACE3 to save $200 for their special 3-pack. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Click my name and use code word GRACE3. The 3-pack special ends this week. We'll be right back. We'll take some sound from Jen Psaki. And I have more to talk about. I want to talk about the COVID insanity because another person is coming out with rules about whether or not they'll interact with you if you don't have the vaccine. And I've said it once, but I'll say it again. It's starting to feel a little bit racist. We'll be right back.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. She's got the voice of an angel.
I've been called the songbird of my generation, of people who've heard me.
It's Grace Curley.
All right, so here's something strange. I guess the slideshow of Cuomo kissing people was put together by his team. That's what I'm reading. People are saying, well, you know, showing a slideshow of you hugging and kissing people doesn't make you not guilty. But I got to double check that because that seems insane that they would think that that's a good idea, that that makes him look better.
That would be like OJ doing a slideshow of himself with knives.
Yeah, it just doesn't. It doesn't convince people of what you think it's convincing them of. All right, so Jen Psaki is at the White House and she's doing her press briefing. And she was asked, I believe, first by Jonathan Carl about the New York Attorney General's report on Cuomo and the press conference. Let's listen.
Thank you, Jen. In March, President Biden said that New York Governor Andrew Cuomo should resign if the New York Attorney General's investigation confirmed allegations of sexual harassment. Today, the investigation found that Cuomo engaged in unwanted groping and kissing of at least 11 women, including current and former state employees. Does the president believe Governor Cuomo should resign?
Well, the president just said that he's going to speak to this later this afternoon and share his views. So I'm not going to get ahead of his comments he'll make later.
Have there been any conversations today between the governor's office and anyone here at the White House?
No, there have not.
And why the delay? Why not have a go? Did the president watch the governor's video earlier?
Again, the president will give his own reaction to, of course, the announcement this morning and give his own view later this afternoon.
And one more on something else, though. There was a shooting today earlier.
I love how they say, why delay? It's called buying time. It's called stalling.
You've seen him read words. We need time.
They need so much time. I also just wanted to mention this. CNN's Brian Stelter, he had a segment where he blasted sloppy news coverage of vaccinated people with COVID, and he called it scary, sensationalist headlines. And then I also want to read you a headline from CNN. UK scientists believe it is almost certain a coronavirus variant will emerge that beats current vaccines. Also, Oliver Darcy was talking about how positive cases are not the best barometer for how we measure the pandemic anymore. Are you feeling the switch? The winds have shifted. And Omri Sarin on Twitter wrote, someone clearly got a talking to from the White House health comms over the weekend. Yeah, CNN officially got yelled at by the Biden administration, and they said, you need to stop making us look bad. We have this under control. And CNN said, righto, boss. We will change that up immediately. Ross, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Ross.
Hey, Grace. I think a good PR move for Barack Obama this weekend is if he took a fleet of private jets down to the border and picked up, let's say, 150 or so of undocumented immigrants and brought them back to help work the party, you know, if they're going to be, be understaffed.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the illegal immigration, Ross, because CDC Director Rochelle Walensky issued a new order continuing the Title 42 border policy, which allows U.S. officials to expel migrants and asylum seekers without court hearings. This new order is in place indefinitely, but it's supposed to be reviewed every 60 days. I didn't know that Rochelle Walensky was in charge of the country, but
Rochelle!
For some reason, knowing that she is giving me a sense of impending doom. U.S. officials are expecting 210,000 apprehensions along the southern border in July, according to Camilo Montayo Galvez, the highest monthly total since 2000. They also expect to record 80,000 apprehensions of parents and children traveling as families and 19,000 of unaccompanied children. So just to give you a little bit of a context here, let's just start in April. Let's start in February. 100, and this is the amount of migrant encounters. All right, these are the preliminary numbers from the U.S. government. February, 101,095. March, 173,265. April, this is when it starts picking up, 178,850. May, again, this is when Joe Biden came in and was fixing everything. 180,641. June, this is when Kamala Harris is getting to the root causes of these issues. 188,829. July, this is when America is back, baby, and we are, you know, we're just thriving and we're beating COVID, and yet there's still spiking numbers because of illegal immigrants. 210,000. Total, 1,032,680. There's no plan in sight, except for, of course, fix all the countries in the Northern Triangle, fix their democracies, their finances, their crime, their corruption, and then we can fix our border. We'll be back with more COVID craziness and, of course, Andrew Cuomo. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
All right, we will keep going with some of this Jen Psaki sound in a second, but I have to mention something here before we get back to that. The Democrats, including Ed Markey, Senator Ed Markey, our very own, we're so proud of him, They have been speaking up about President Joe Biden. They're urging him to extend the eviction moratorium. And in fact, they did some sort of like sit out where they sat on the steps. And
yeah, they roughed it with brand new pillows, air mattresses,
snacks,
Oreos.
Galore.
Yeah.
Snacks galore. And AOC was there. She specifically put on her mask when she knew they were taking a picture. But for most of the time, she did not have it on. But I think the real highlight was Ed Markey decided, you know what, we should sing because it works so well when the Texas Democrats fled Texas and went to D.C. and they sang, "We Shall Overcome." So Ed Markey thought, I'll try my hat at this. First, he says this, cut one.
And you know, there's this great socialist who wrote a great song, which a lot of people think is an anthem for our country, but it was written by a socialist, okay, back in the 1930s. A communist.
A communist.
He was a communist. He was a socialist. He was radical. And you know what that song is? This land is young.
Yeah, that's why some of us aren't big fans of that song. I love how he's talking. He's talking about it like he's Elaine in Seinfeld. Oh, my boyfriend's a communist. Big communist. He's so excited about this. And it's so obvious that Markey is just, if you didn't read that story that came out a couple months ago, Ed Markey is terrified of the progressive youth because he knows that his time is... It doesn't seem like he's got a long time left if the AOCs of the world decide that his time is up. So he is pandering to these crazy liberal progressives at every turn. He wants to show them that he is more woke than they could ever dream. And so that's why he's bragging about this. Oh, did you know this song was written by a socialist? Yeah, it was written by Woody Guthrie. And he was a communist and socialist. This is what Ed Markey was telling people. But he's right about that. And some of the unrecorded radical lyrics do show that that is indeed true. Some of the lines are, "There was a big high wall there that tried to stop me. The sign was painted, said private property. But on the backside, it didn't say nothing. This land was made for you and me." And then you wonder why people like AOC and Ed Markey think it's such a great song. But let's play them singing this, cut two.
Can we sing that?
Yes, sir.
Okay, who can start that?
I will.
Go ahead.
From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you and me. I go walking.
Oh, not the other verse. On us.
This is like people singing at church.
Wait, hold on. I gotta say something. I'm gonna be honest. I'm always honest on this show. Well, I think Ed Markey is super lame, and that's pathetic that he's trying to like relate with the youths by being, oh, let's sing this song by a communist, and then maybe you guys will like me and invite me to your parties. That's obviously pathetic, but I will say, compared to the Texas Democrats, I'm no Simon Cowell, but I would sign that group compared
to
the
Thank you very
ones.
Much for all that you and all of your colleagues are doing here today. Thank you.
We will overcome. We will overcome. We will overcome someday.
Compared to that group, they sound like Mariah Carey. I mean, they are Celine Dion's compared to that first group. The harmony, the melding of the voices, it was beautiful. And guaranteed, like, I don't obviously have a very high standard compared to that first one. Anything would sound good, but wow. Now, moving on, though, from Ed Markey, I don't like to give him more than, like, 2 minutes of airtime for everyone's sake. I do want to talk a little bit here about tolerant liberals in the news. News broke yesterday that Senator Lindsey Graham contracted COVID. He made a point to say, yes, I did get it. You know, I'm very happy that I got the vaccine because my symptoms are not as bad, which is a great message to send out to people. Now, Kate Coyne McCoy, she's a chief strategist of the Rhode Island Democratic Party. And this is her bio on Twitter. Mom, lover of dogs, liberal, political strategist working for a better world, leading RI Democratic Party. Tweets are my own! Exclamation point. She seems like a fun lady, you know? She's got dogs in the bio, and she's a Democrat. And she's trying to make the world a better place. This is what she tweeted out when she got word that Lindsey Graham got COVID. Are you ready for this? She said, "Is it wrong? It's wrong to hope he dies from COVID, right? Asking for a friend. Hashtag COVID is not over. Hashtag Lindsey Graham." But no. Seriously, though, when I debate liberals, I love when they play the morality card. You know, like, oh, you're mean. You don't care about people. You're racist. You guys need to check your moral compasses, because when something bad happens to Democrats, my go-to reaction isn't to come on Twitter and celebrate someone getting sick or someone getting cancer or someone getting punched and getting their lungs collapsed or someone breaking ribs. My knee-jerk reaction isn't like, oh, Jared, let's go on the air and celebrate this, because that's sick. That's morally bankrupt. And that's exactly what they do every time. She must have talked to Obama's old staffer and said, hey, what was the tweet you wrote about Trump when he got COVID that you hoped he died? All right, do you care if I use that? I'm going to use that. It went over well for you, right? Yeah, I'm going to use that too. It's like these Democrats, they never, ever learn. All right, we'll play a little bit of Jen Psaki here. And then I have some other things I want to hit before we bring on Howie. This is White House Press Secretary and Master of Spin, Jen Psaki.
Typically, you need the governor of a state to welcome in federal resources. Are there other ways where the White House or the administration could surge to Florida using military bases or federal property or something else that would not require an invitation from the governor? Is that part of the discussion?
That's a really good question. We work beyond governors who we certainly work with, Democrats and Republicans. We also work with local public health officials and authorities.
Out of all the days to run with the Ron DeSantis is the worst person in the world, today's probably not a good day to choose. Today's probably a day where you go, you know what, guys? The Ron DeSantis narrative, we'll pick it back up tomorrow, and he will be the number one most evil man in America. But for today, while Cuomo is still ringing in our ears, let's give it a 24-hour rest. But no, not Kelly O'Donnell.
Well, you know that Governor DeSantis doesn't want your help, so why don't you take the White House and take the military and surge down there and take over his state?
Yeah, because Floridians aren't happy with Governor Ron DeSantis. Au contraire, I think they're a lot happier with him than New Yorkers are with Andrew Cuomo, but maybe that's just me. Something else I wanted to mention here is that Biden's COVID advisor finally admitted the basic truth that the admin has failed to say for months. I'm reading from Red State here, but this was Michael Osterholm. He's one of Biden's Wuhan coronavirus advisors and the director of the University of Minnesota's Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy. Listen to what he admitted on television yesterday. Cut six.
We know today that many of the face cloth coverings that people wear are not very effective in reducing any of the virus movement in or out. Either you're breathing out or you're breathing in. And in fact, if you're in the upper Midwest right now, anybody who's wearing their face cloth covering can tell you they can smell all the smoke that we're still getting. We need to talk about better masking. We need to talk about N95 respirators, which would do a lot for both people who are not yet vaccinated or not previously infected, protecting them, as well as keeping others who might become infected, having been vaccinated, from breathing out the virus. So I think one of the things right now, we've just got to get a better handle on what does protect people and what doesn't.
Now, keep in mind, so he's saying that N95 respirators, those are the ones that cling really tightly to your face. They usually leave like lines on your face when you take them off. I just want to remind everyone that he's saying those work better. Now, no city or statewide mask mandates require those masks, which cling tightly to your face. So what he's essentially telling us is we've all been walking around with things for the last year and a half that don't do anything. And they still want us to keep doing it. I will wear my mask if all of Barack Obama's 700 birthday guests wear their mask in and out of the porta potties at his birthday and don't take it off. Then I will wear my mask for a few hours. Otherwise, I'm done with the masks. And lastly, because we did talk a little bit about how New York City is mandating the vaccine passports, They're calling it like a key to New York City or something. And it's the only way you can enjoy the entire experience of New York City, whatever that means. I don't know if that's a promise or a threat, but I'm very glad I don't live there. But there's a lot of Democrats who are kind of setting up their own ideas. We saw yesterday that Mark Hamill, who played Luke Skywalker, hashtagged vax to vote. In other words, in order for people to vote, it's racist to require people use, you know, their license, but you can require that they be vaccinated. That was his great idea. Maybe stick to acting. The other idea from people is these vaccine passports. Don Lemon said, you know, like, don't let people go into grocery stores if they're not vaccinated. And a lot of people have been pointing out this seems kind of racist because there's a lot of black people who aren't vaccinated. There's a lot of Hispanics who aren't vaccinated. And I don't think that these liberal progressives want to start telling black people or Hispanic people that they can't come into the grocery store based
racism,
off their
racism, racism.
Seems like a bit of a gamble. I don't know how that will go over. But there's this guy, Benjamin Witz, and I guess he's a senior fellow at the Brookings Institute and editor-in-chief of the Lawfare blog, and he has something new. He tweeted this out. I am, with this tweet, instituting my own vaccine mandate. I am not interacting with people anymore whom I do not know to be vaccinated, and I reserve the right to demand proof of vaccination from anyone on pain of refusal and further engage. Children accepted, of course. I don't think you'll have a hard time with that. Like, all these people who say, you know, they write in and ask for advice. I'm throwing a party and I don't... My aunt's not vaccinated and I don't know how to tell her that she can't come. It's like, I feel like your aunt's going to be okay with that. I feel like your friend who you yell at and say, I'm not talking to you anymore unless you're vaccinated, might say to themselves, okay, see you later. Catch you next week. I mean, I don't know.
Everybody keeps threatening to not deal with me because I'm unvaccinated, but you're still dealing with me. Please go away.
No, just leave people alone. Like Benjamin Witz, that's fine if you don't want to talk to people who aren't vaccinated. Just stay in your house. You be a keyboard warrior and just leave the rest of us alone. I'm fine not chatting with Benjamin Witz on a daily basis. And San Francisco has become the latest to bring back mask mandates as former Biden COVID advisor says masks don't work. I told you guys about that earlier. But we're seeing this in certain hotspots like Provincetown. Again, I don't understand it. I don't think they work. I don't think they're effective, especially the fact that most people are picking up dirty masks from the bottom of their car now because they can't find any fresh ones. I don't think it's a good idea, but what do I know? All right, we'll be back with Howie Carr, 844-500-4242. We'll probably play a little bit more of Andrew Cuomo and have Howie react. Before we go to the break, though, I'll take one call. Anthony, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Anthony.
Grace, can you believe that? I've been listening to you. You have no idea. I'm sitting by the lake right now in Lake Placid, listening to you all day. Can you believe the governor telling us all that nonsense, like, hey, how you doing? And with the mask, Grace, I was at your birthday party. It was mask-free. We're going to be mask-free forever. That's what I want to tell you. Don't let them push us around.
No, absolutely. I'm ready. I'm at the point, Anthony, and I don't normally get like this. Once in a while, I get like this, where I want to reach out to some of my liberal friends, and I never do that, but I kind of want to, and I want to say, like, hey, you know, Obama's having that big birthday party. Do you think it's cool now if we all get together? Like, do you think it's safe? I don't understand how people can rationalize it, how you can look at this. And John Berman, I didn't say this on the show yesterday because Howie got the cut, but John Berman yesterday was talking about Mayor Muriel Bowser from D.C. and how she officiated a wedding hours before mandating masks indoors. And he was like, I don't really get why people are so upset about this. That's the part of this that drives me the craziest. Like, I don't care if you want to stick with this, but don't try to pretend you don't get why people are irked. You understand why people are fed up. Don't play dumb. We'll be back with Howie Carr. Don't go anywhere. Thank you for the call, Anthony. We'll be right back. This is the Grace Curley Show.
You can call her late for dinner. Just don't call her Gracie. It's the Grace Curley Show. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Today's poll question is brought to you by Exit Realty. With over 25 locations in New England, they have you covered. To learn more about their innovative technology that gets your house sold, go to exitrealty.com/New England. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Will Andrew Cuomo survive this?
No, I do not think he will. I think his tactic of blaming the victims today was a bold strategy, but I don't think it's going to pay off.
55% of the audience says no, he will not.
And now to give us his take is Howard Lawrence Carr. What do you think, Howard? You think Andy's going to survive this one?
No, I don't think so. I think it'll take a little while to percolate out. But, I mean, that was a fairly pathetic response, I thought, today. He, blaming the victims and saying that it didn't happen when, at least in some cases, they have witnesses to this.
Yeah, you specifically brought up the fact that they have witnesses in the case with the state trooper.
Right. I don't understand. I think they have multiple witnesses. And you know, why was he yelling at the guy Foon Kim when they had this 11-hour meeting? He was questioning for 11 hours and the cameras were running.
Now, here's what I want to tell you. And you're wiser than me, but I do want to remind you of this. If we've learned anything about Andrew Cuomo over the last couple of months, it's that he does not take legal advice. Because whoever his lawyers are, I can guarantee you they're telling him, don't do any press conferences, don't go out and talk to reporters, and he keeps doing it. So the fact that he went out today and lied and said that all of these people weren't telling the truth, despite the fact that there's witnesses, shouldn't really be that surprising. He's not going based off advice at this point. He's just going based off Cuomo.
Yeah, but I understand that, but that was a pretty devastating press conference that this woman Letitia James put out. I didn't think she had it in her to do something this damaging to Cuomo. And you know, he should have just said, we'll have to let it play out. It's due process is here. I have a right. They have a right to make their accusations. I have a right to defend myself and just kind of punt, kick the can down the road. I don't know what he was hoping to accomplish with this.
He's going to be very busy tonight with threatening phone calls to all these people who have wronged him. He's going to be dialing away at like 1 a.m.
Wow, this is really something. I mean, you know, he was married to a Kennedy. Is he going to be the first Kennedy to actually go down on a sex case?
I'd be very happy.
Yeah,
about
I know
it.
He's an in-law, but still, I mean, he'd be the first one. I mean, just like Joe Kennedy last year was the first Kennedy to ever lose in Massachusetts, now Cuomo is going to be the first one to be kicked down the stairs.
I have to ask you this. Do you think that his comments about how he just, you know, he interacts with people the same way his father does, do you think the Tap and Z might come back?
God, I hope so. I sure miss the Tap and Z.
All right, Howie has a great show planned, so don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.